Well, good morning, Connection Point Church. It's really humbling to be up here. That's probably the best way I could say it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, and that's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most cherished sections of Scripture in the entire Bible. And Jesus gave this sermon near the beginning of his ministry. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches what the spiritual life of the kingdom looks like. And in so doing, he covers an array of subjects to show how kingdom people engage with those. So let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34 together. And let's see what Jesus has to say about how kingdom people should engage with anxiety in their life. Starting in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray before we begin. Father, I do thank you for these words. I thank you for being able to gather as your people this morning on the basis of your Son and what he has done for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit as proof that you have redeemed us and that you have prepared a place for us in the future. But for right now, Lord, as we engage with your word, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of these here so that they can see wonderful things in your word. Open their ears, Lord, to hear your voice speaking to them from this text about what they need to hear and to receive. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So since January of this year, it has felt like the Lord has been asking me one question. Do you trust me to provide for you? I have found that question offensive at times. It has surprised me at times, and it has puzzled me at times. See, when I signed on to Indian Trail Church as a pastoral resident, back in September of 2019, I knew that my commitment was for 2 years. So back in December of 2020, the Indian Trail elders, they reminded me that I only had 8 months left of the residency. And this was their gentle nudge to me about the next step. But here's the rub. I became anxious about my future because of this reminder. I began to wonder if my Father in heaven had his best in mind for my family and me. It bugged me that I was anxious. It bugged me that I wasn't trusting the Lord. And it bugged me that the Lord kept asking me, "Do you trust me, Matthew, to provide for you?" Of course I trust you. You're my Father. I'm your Son. The proof is in the pudding. Here I am, an example of the Lord's provision. But did you notice something? I just dodged our Heavenly Father's question. Do you trust me to provide for you. Lord, I know I'm your son by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No one can ever snatch me out of your hand. I know that. And the Lord, gracious, patient, it was as if he was saying to me again, Matthew, you didn't answer my question. Do you trust me to provide for you? And it's humbling to admit I was anxious and not trusting him. And in preparing this sermon, the Lord showed me that my anxiety masked a lack of trust in God to provide for me. I was anxious about providing for my family. I was anxious about tomorrow, and being anxious about tomorrow is another way of saying I'm anxious about the future. I didn't know what was next. I wasn't trusting God to provide for me. But you see, ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the garden, human beings question if God cares for them. We wonder if God really cares about our daily needs. And consequently, this causes us to be anxious. It makes us anxious about today and tomorrow. And in this passage that we just read, Jesus addresses this anxiety in us. And he essentially says to us, you don't need to be anxious. And that's the main point of our passage this morning. You don't need to be anxious. Now, you might be sitting there and saying, Matthew, that's not what Jesus says in the text. He says, don't be anxious. You're right. In fact, Jesus says that 6 times in the passage, right? In verses 25, 27, 28, 31, and 34, he says, don't be anxious. But each one of those mentions could sound like a hammer hitting a nail. And that's not the heart of our Lord and Savior, and that's not the heart of our God. Instead, I want you to see and hear the reasons that Jesus gives for not being anxious. Because these reasons reveal Jesus' heart and the Father's heart for us. And so these 3 reasons, they have the effect of showing us why you don't need to be anxious. Jesus desires to encourage us with this passage. He wants to set us free from anxiety, not burden us with guilt and shame for being anxious. So here are Jesus' 3 reasons from this text about why you don't need to be anxious. 1, you don't need to be anxious because your Father provides. 2, you don't need to be anxious because you're his kingdom people. And 3, you don't need to be anxious because tomorrow's not here yet. So let's take a look at the first reason not to be anxious. You don't need to be anxious because your Father provides. Got 2 subpoints under here. First one is your Father provides food. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Notice that Jesus compares birds to farmers. But unlike farmers, the birds, they don't take part in ensuring food for themselves. They simply go about their day blissfully unaware of all that God does to provide food for them. And in spite of that, in spite of the ignorance of the birds, God still provides for the birds. He feeds them. So what about us? Well, unlike the birds, we do partner with our Lord in feeding ourselves. He created us to work. He created Adam and Eve to work and till the ground. We work jobs to earn money for food. But even so, are we fully aware of all that God does to provide for us? In some ways, we're like the birds. We go about our days largely ignorant of all that is necessary for us to even eat, to have the food to be able to eat. But our Father does not hold that ignorance of what he does for us against us. He still gives us our daily need. He provides food. Not only does our Father provide food for us, sub point two, your Father provides clothes. Look at verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, like the previous section, Jesus starts with the most insignificant in his creation, and he goes to the most significant. Flowers clothe the grass. Flowers and grass, they're fragile, they're short-lived. But what Jesus is saying is that many flowers display such beauty that it outshines even kings. And in this case, he says lilies outshine the beauty of King Solomon, the wisest and one of the greatest kings in all of Israel. And if the Father shows such meticulous care for the grass and gives it such beauty, how much more so with us? Remember, we bear his image. The grass doesn't. Jesus isn't trying to guilt or shame us for concerning ourselves with how to meet our basic needs, because his concern has to do with what preoccupies our hearts. Do we trust in our Father to provide, or do we trust in ourselves? Back in 2007, I was 30, single, and living the dream in LA. And one morning, my 91 Buick LeSabre was stolen. So I filed a police report. I called into work and instantly became anxious about my life. How do I get around LA without a car? How do I get to work? How do I go grocery shopping? How do I go on dates as a single man in a big city without a car? Right? I was anxious. I was even questioning my worth as a man and wondering where God was in all of this. And during a men's gathering, I shared about my carless situation as a prayer need. And one of the men came up to me afterward and said, "Listen, my mom, she just died. She was elderly, old, and I'm just feeling led by the Lord to sell you her car for less than Blue Book value." So I jumped on that opportunity. Pretty amazing, right? But here's the thing. In those days, sometimes I trusted the Lord, and other times I was just wallowing in anxiety and self-pity about my situation. I kept bouncing between those two. So to put it simply, our Father provided me a car in spite of myself. He didn't provide a car for me because I was the poster child, right, for high-powered spiritual living. That's not why he gave me the car. He provided for me because that's what a good and loving Father does. Right? We sang about that this morning. So I didn't need to be anxious. Our Father in heaven, he created us to be dependent on him. And by creating us, he's committed to providing for us. He's intimately concerned with providing for your daily needs. So, are you anxious about paying bills or putting food on the table because you're unemployed or underemployed? Are you anxious about where you're going to live? Are you anxious for your children as the school year looms? Are you anxious for your relationships with family and friends and neighbors because of COVID? Are you anxious about our nation's future? These are all real concerns. But you don't need to be anxious, because above all these concerns is the truth that your Father cares for you. Your Father provides for you. That's the truth that Jesus wants for us to go deep into our hearts, to unlock our hearts, so that they become wellsprings of life. So you don't need to be anxious because your Father provides. But not only does our Father provide for our daily needs, he also provides for our spiritual, eternal need. He gave us Jesus as our sacrifice for us. Christ is our provision. He's your provision, right? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Jesus is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. So what that means is by being our wisdom, Jesus gives us hope. He gives you and me hope to live wisely each day. By being our righteousness, he enables you and me to stand before the presence of God. By being our sanctification, Jesus invites us to walk with him on a faith journey to become like him. And by being our redemption, Jesus shows just how deeply we are loved by him and by the Father. And so, because the Father has redeemed us in Christ, we are sons of the King, brothers and sisters. We're sons and daughters of the King. And the proof of that is you have the Holy Spirit. So if you've trusted your Lord and Savior, repented of your sin, you have the Holy Spirit, who, according to Paul in Romans 8:16, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that is in the background of all that Jesus is saying. He's assuming that we're his. That he's assuming that we're his kingdom people, which brings us to our second main point. You don't need to be anxious because you're his kingdom people. And a subpoint, kingdom people don't look like the world. Look at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what shall we wear. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Who are the Gentiles in our text and in the Sermon on the Mount? From Jesus' point of view, the Gentiles are those who deny him and his teaching. They don't believe God is their Father. They live life as orphaned children. And instead of storing up treasure in their hearts, instead of storing up treasure in heaven, they spend their whole lives storing up treasure here on earth where moth and rust destroy. Instead of serving God, they serve money and their stuff. And their heart reveals they love money and stuff more than God. Who I'm describing are, you know, they're everyday men, women who love their wealth, who love their careers, who love their relationships, who love what others think about them more than how much God loves them and cares for them. But Jesus says in our text that we don't look like the Gentiles. We don't sound like the Gentiles. We don't live like them. Therefore, you don't need to be anxious because you're his kingdom children. Earlier, Barry quoted from Jeremiah 32. I'm going to go back there very quickly. Jeremiah 32, listen to verses 40 and 41. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land of faithfulness with all my heart and soul. We, brothers and sisters, who are his kingdom children, we're in the new covenant where he delights to do good to us, delights to provide for us, and has put us in a place of eternal provision. His kingdom, which Paul says, our Father delivered us out of the kingdom of Satan and put us into Jesus' kingdom at conversion. That's the spiritual reality you and I live in. One day it'll be in full when he returns. But this is not true of the Gentiles, what I've just said. They remain orphans until they repent of their sin and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But here's the thing. When we, his kingdom children, slip into anxious living, we look like those who don't have a heavenly father. We look like orphans. We look like those who allow the cares of this world to choke out the word of God from our hearts and consequently make us unfruitful. And so then in those anxious moments, we lose sight of our main priority, which is the kingdom. And that's our second subpoint. So the first subpoint, kingdom people don't look like the world because kingdom people prioritize the kingdom. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So because we are his kingdom people, we can live out this verse. This can be true in your lives. Why? Because our Father has given us the Holy Spirit. We can truly pursue God's kingdom and righteousness and not worry about our provision. In math, there's a concept called order of operations. Maybe some of you know the acronym, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. It's funny, it's catchy, but it helps beginning math students to remember that there's a definite order to proceed through when solving math problems. And so going out of order in one step, you get the whole answer wrong. And that's what Jesus is teaching us right here in our text, that the correct order of operations for living as his kingdom people in the kingdom is to pursue God's kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else takes a number and gets in line. Otherwise, we get the wrong answer. So perhaps you're here this morning and you do feel like you've been getting wrong answers in your life. And this has caused anxiety. Perhaps you've been so hell-bent on pursuing a career or a relationship or a hobby that you feel like it's all on you now to make it happen. And so anxiety greets you each morning. Others of you, maybe you have anxiety at work. You differ from your coworkers when it comes to vaccines, BLM, LGBT, and so anxiety greets you in the morning. Finally, some of you deal with anxiety because you're not sure how to engage with family and friends due to COVID and all these things. Now, my encouragement to all of you, if those things hit you or land anywhere, is the same. You don't need to be anxious because you're his kingdom people. And so therefore, this promise in Psalm 55, verse 22 is yours. If you want to turn there, I want you to, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 52, or if you have a device, you can click on it, poke at it. Psalm 55, verse 22. This is, if you're God's kingdom daughter or son, this promise is for you. Verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden. You can also say cast your anxiety on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. No matter your situation, your lot in life, your Father in heaven wants your burdens. He wants your anxieties. Give them to him. Make it a prayer, a daily discipline of prayer, going into his presence with these anxieties, with these burdens. And you'll see as you do that, that your anxiety lifts. So we've seen that we don't need to be anxious because our Father provides and because we're his kingdom people. So this brings us to our final reason from Jesus that you don't need to be anxious, because tomorrow is not here yet. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, please don't read this and come away thinking that Jesus wants you to get rid of your daily planner, or that you're to delete Outlook or Google Calendar from your computer. Earlier, I said that Jesus is our wisdom. So, friends, brothers and sisters, we are kingdom people, and kingdom people live wisely. So we do plan, we do prepare, and this wisdom, Christ's wisdom, is then working itself out in us as we prepare and as we plan. But here's the thing, that wisdom also plans for tomorrow loosely. And so you might be asking me right now, Matthew, so what are you saying? So what does this mean? James chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says, "You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." In the great scheme of eternity, I'm just this little blip on the radar. And the point here in James is that we're limited. We don't know the future. It's also not our main concern. That's what Jesus is also getting at in our passage in Matthew 6. So when you and I worry, we're actually bringing the troubles from tomorrow into today. And it's a future that may not even happen. Corrie Ten Boom said it best. She said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." And we need our Father to strengthen our hearts to live each day. We need the Spirit's help to focus on our daily needs, to focus what's at hand in front of us while leaving and trusting the future to our Father. And this is why Jesus, he taught earlier in Matthew 6 about the Lord's Prayer, to pray and ask for our Father in heaven to give us our daily bread. He's our Father. He knows all our needs. And this means that our Father knows how best to meet our needs. And each one of you requires something different from our Father. So do your daily needs drive you, compel you to go to your Father in prayer? And even if you don't want to go to your Father and pray about these needs and you're still there that way, that's good, because you're not going to stay that way in His presence long enough. I'm not saying to allow these needs to drive you to prayer to weigh you down. It's another way of encouraging you, like the author of Hebrews does, where he says to approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, for mercy in time of need. So when you're in a time of need, our Father's throne is a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment for you and for me. Because of Christ's work on the cross, He is the source of your eternal salvation. And His blood secures an eternal redemption. And it makes you a member of the new covenant and His kingdom, which is eternal. And no one or anything can take that away. So Christ has secured your tomorrow. Your tomorrow is secure. And the proof of this is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 says, "In Him," or in Christ, "you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory." And friends, this promise is yours, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of a future. It's yours. So, if God went to such great lengths, if your Father in heaven went to such great lengths to secure your eternity, do you think He's going to ignore your 401k? So may we marinate in this promise so that it permeates our entire being, our whole way of life. Because that's what Jesus aims to do in our passage. Now, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, this promise, this reality, it can be yours, but you need to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, you'll be on the road to seeing your anxieties lessen each day. So there are very real concerns in our lives that we face that make us anxious. And Jesus, he doesn't downplay them in our passage this morning, as we've seen. But instead, he magnifies three truths. You don't need to be anxious because your Father provides. You don't need to be anxious because we're his kingdom people and because tomorrow is not here. When we marinate on these truths, these reasons that Jesus gives, our minds are renewed in who God is and what he has done. And when we marinate on these truths, our hearts are set free from the cares of the world. Because it's the cares of the world that fuel anxiety. And so when you marinate on these reasons by being grounded in the Word, motivated by the gospel, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can live out what Jesus says here in Matthew 5, verse 14, where he says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for what you have provided for us in your Son, Jesus. There's so much that you have done for us. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be impressing upon the men and women and children here the truths that they need, Lord, to hold on to grab on to for today and for this week to come. You're their Father. They're your children. And so with today and with the rest of this week, Lord, help us to live like it. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.